Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Here we go at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. After the Gus Bradley radio show. Your mic's not
on
yet. What?
Can I make a correction?
Yes.
Okay. In the Gus Bradley show. Yes, I do. And Tony Baselli pointed out one. Next week, it's a Thursday night game against the Tennessee Titans. And because I cannot be disrespectful to the offensive lineman, okay, the left guard for the Baltimore Ravens, it's Kelechi Osemele.
No, Osemele. There you go, Osemele.
I promise I'll get that right on Sunday.
No, usually it's my job to butcher the names, not yours.
Yeah, usually you do a pretty good job of it.
He's got that part covered. Plenty to get to tonight. The Jaguars are headed to Baltimore for the last game in a two-month stretch of a lot of road games for this Jaguars team, a lot of games away from Everbank Field. How do the Jaguars and the Ravens stack up? A couple of 2-6 teams. We'll get to the injury reports as well. We'll have to get to the the division still out there. The Colts.
Yeah, but you know what, JP?
Hold on. Let's get through the division first before you argue with me. Stand by. The Colts are 4-5, 3-0 in the division. They don't have Andrew Luck for the next who knows how many weeks with a lacerated kidney. Who hasn't had a lacerated kidney? The Texans are 3-5, 2-1 in the division. Jags and Titans 2-6. Proceed.
All right. The mindset of this team, they can't even look at that right now. I mean, they got to work and focus on one game, period. You know the old mantra, one game at a time?
I've heard of that, yes.
This team is so young and is working. They need to worry about the Baltimore Ravens, and that is it. You know, because I go back to, you know, because a lot of the comparisons were drawn last week about the 96 Jaguars, which me and Tony were both a part of. And people were saying, well, hey, look, that maybe is setting up good for something similar to that. Tony, do you remember at one point ever when we were, what was it, our record?
4-7.
4-7. Do you ever remember?
We were 3-6, then 4-6, 4-7. Yeah.
Okay, do you ever remember at any point when we were 4-7, we were thinking, look, we still got a chance?
I was just laughing. No, we were just thinking how to get through the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. That was it. I couldn't even told you then. I certainly couldn't tell you now where we were in the division at that point.
No.
Let alone the wild card or anything else. I mean, no idea. In fact, I don't think it even registered until we won week 15.
Yeah. And then we were told if we beat Atlanta, we can possibly get in.
Yeah, we beat Seattle on a Sunday night game here in then Alltale, now Everbank. And we won that game. And then I remember coming in that week, it's like, if we win, we're in.
And here's the crazy thing.
It's like, wow.
When we came to that realization in 96, we didn't play our best game.
No, we played awful.
Yeah, they had to miss a kick.
Yeah.
We played against a bad
Falcon team.
A bad Falcon team. Offensively, we moved the ball up and down the field but couldn't score. And defensively, we played great until the end, and then they couldn't get off the field.
You got tight. You guys got tight.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's my point is that, you know, this team here, they got to forget about all that. You know, and I know that last week they talked about it and then moved on, and that's good. You got to acknowledge it and move on. But right now the mindset on this team has got to be, look, put the blinders on, okay, and put the reader glasses on, the cheaters. You know what I mean? To where you can't see past what's right in front of you. And that's what this team needs to do.
Do you have readers, Jeff?
I need them. I have.
Tony?
No, I have not hit it yet. Everyone said at 40 you'd start needing them. I'm 43 and I don't need them yet.
I actually have them built into my prescription glasses. What do they call that to where there's that?
Bifocals.
Well, they're not true bifocals. They're
my question
they're
is:
blended.
You have nothing on right now. Can you read the paper in front of you?
Yes, but it's got to be at the right distance. You know, I mean, it's got to be. You know, you sit there.
How close to your face does that get before you can't see it?
Well, it's blurry right there, Tony.
So it's about a foot.
You need glasses.
Okay, so I got to get it out here, which is at arm's length, and I can read it fine.
Yeah, you need glasses.
But that, you know, that's what this team needs to do.
See, I can still see perfectly. I can go all the way up here.
Not me. Oh, it'll get you.
Right there. We can't hear you. The paper's right in front of the microphone.
Right there, I can't see it, but right there I can see it.
Jeez, unbelievable.
Sorry, that's bad radio, but it was funny.
I don't have that issue yet. Offense.
Well, you're
for
this
team.
How old are you?
33.
I know you look 55, but
I
you're
do,
only 33.
But I'm 33. Yeah, that's correct. Let's talk.
You
about
look
this.
Older than both Jeff and I.
I do, and I'm good with that. Okay. I've come to terms with that. You can't fight it.
No, you shouldn't. And there's nothing you can do
I
about it.
I lost the fight a long time ago.
Unless you go fight.
I tried to circle the wagons once. It ain't going to happen.
Unless you go to like Hair Club for Men.
No, I love the fact that you have embraced who you are.
It is what it is, man.
I like it.
You should just shave it all.
No, you really don't want to see that.
I could look better. You got like kind of the Bob Newhart look.
I think I have like a Klingon head. There's wrinkles and all kind of stuff up there. You don't want to see that.
Okay.
What did you say, Bob Newhart? Yeah.
He doesn't even know who Bob Newhart is.
Doesn't he though? It's the Bob Newhart guy.
Absolutely. He's got it working.
Anyway, Jaguars offense trying to get this thing continuing to roll. Obviously, the turnovers last week, something you don't want, the three turnovers. But Blake Bortles is second in the league in completions of 20-plus yards. Hearns and Robinson are 1 and 2 in average per reception in the league.
Of right wide now. Receivers of 25 or more catches. Right. But you got to kind of clarify that because there's a couple guys that are in the top 50 that have a higher yards per catch average.
But either way, they're both over 17 yards per catch.
Which is impressive.
Fantastic. So if you get Julius Thomas going, does that help those guys more? Does the albino tiger make a sighting this week? Do those guys make a difference if they're really rolling?
Julius Thomas does in a big way. I think Jeff and I are in the same boat when it comes to Marquise Lee. Until he's out there consistently, I'm not going to worry about him. But Julius Thomas, absolutely. I mean, he's got to get going. I mean, he doesn't look explosive like we saw during OTAs and training camp before he got hurt. And I don't know if he's playing back into shape or what it is, but he just doesn't have that explosiveness that he had. And so if he can get going, and there's some opportunities against this Ravens team because they're going to play man. They're going to play man on him with the linebackers. And so there's some one-on-one opportunities he's going to have a chance to win and get it going.
And if he can get draw the coverage of a linebacker that's not the name of C.J. Mosley, he could do very well. Darryl Smith, love him, you know, but Darryl slowed down a little bit in the box area. That's why they kind of protect Darryl a little bit, kind of like how they protected Ray Lewis towards the end of his career. To where they walk him up at the line of scrimmage and they kind of keep him in that box area. So I don't expect to see Darryl covering him too much. But if he does, then, you know, I expect Julius to be able to take advantage of that. The encouraging thing is that you heard Gus talk about how that he's seen some pop out of Julius this week in practice. And that's an encouraging sign. But, you know, the one thing I think that you don't want to do as an offensive coach or as a head coach is to force it. You know, because I think that in some respects that's kind of what happened in the first couple weeks that Julius got back. Now, it didn't happen in Tampa because there was a couple times that Blake should have looked his way, and he didn't. But then it kind of seemed that after that, because Blake missed that, it was almost like Blake wanted to force the issue. You know, and you got to let things just kind of happen. And I think that, you know, the good thing is that we're not seeing Blake lock onto him like we saw in the second and third game back for Julius, and it will happen. And there also has to be a level of trust because – I think Blake said it best, and I brought this up in the Gus Bradley show, that he said that it's easy to throw to Marquise Lee because he gets great separation. You know, I mean, how many tight ends get great separation? I mean, Jason Witten? No. Tony Gonzalez, did he ever get great separation?
Gronk does.
Gronk does. I mean, but he's like the exception. Jimmy Graham does.
Gonzalez has those long arms. You can just make the hands catch. Right?
Listen, the reality is – is they just need to incorporate him into the offense, and Jeff's exactly right. You don't want to force it. Listen, you have two young receivers who are playing at a high level. You have a quarterback who is on pace to break every Jaguar record in every category known to mankind and who's progressing at a rapid pace. And I think that gets lost in all the conversations around this, you know, sports talk radio and the fans and everything else and what he's been able to do this year and the improvement he's made under Greg Olsen. So let it come. Don't force it. Julius Thomas is a good player. And I know we haven't seen the Julius Thomas everyone thought they'd see because of the injury for the first four and then him getting back into football shape. But he didn't forget how to play football and didn't forget being a good tight end. Let it come. If you try to force things, then you're going to get in trouble.
I'm kind of surprised this, you know, that the conversation about pop, about conditioning is part of the the conversation. You know, because you go back to when he hurt his hand. Okay, we were kind of told he was practicing and he's running routes.
And that's what he said in the locker room this week. He's been able to run.
Yeah, so it's kind of surprising that that's even part of the conversation.
But Jeff, doesn't he look a little heavier than he did early in camp? I don't, I mean, maybe it's just maybe I'm looking.
I don't think so.
I mean, but he doesn't look as fast.
No, he definitely doesn't look as fast.
I don't know if it's shape. If he's, I don't know what it is.
But the one thing, though, that I think that we were so impressed with in training camp is that there was a lot of balls that were thrown his way throughout training camp that the coverage was tight.
And he made great catches.
Caught everything.
But Blake was throwing it just in the same zip code, and Julius was able to bring it in. And we haven't seen that yet. You know, the opportunity that he had running down the sideline where he had the safety in, Blake throws it up, and a great decision by Blake. I mean, you got to be able to trust your tight end who's, you know.
You got to go high point it.
Absolutely. And he didn't high point it. He kind of played it down low. You know, so you know, I hope that that happens because, you know, if you look at Blake's quarterback rating, his overall rating is pretty solid. He's at 83.2, which, you know, first quarterback still in his second year, you're like, okay, that's pretty good. But his third down rating drops significantly to a 68.5. And Julius has got to be a big part of that third down package of moving the chains. I mean, that's what Jason Witten's done for years. You know, and it's not like Julius Thomas is going to all of a sudden show up on the stat sheet and have six catches for 100 yards. That's not what he's historically done.
You need six catches for 60 yards or 55
six
yards.
Six catches for about 66 yards. His career average is right around 11 yards.
Okay? That's all you want.
That's what you need. Move the chains.
And one touch.
Line it up. And then in the red zone, he needs to be
throw
a threat again.
To him. Yeah, for sure. Blake Bortles sacked six times last week, hit a few other times, ran the ball a few times in scrambling situations, took some hits. So how much of a test this week is it for the O-line?
Well, it's going to be easier. And this front is not as good as the Jets' front. They're not as powerful. That Jets' front, while they weren't great edge pass rushers, they are so powerful. And they do. And Todd Bowles does a great job of the blitz. All those sacks weren't on the offensive line. T.J. Yeldon had his worst day as a back protecting. And the Jets tested him. And they had a great game plan. And they used the power of their front to free up some linebackers and to get some nice rushes. Now, the line can play better. But this is a different test. Timmy Jernigan's a good player. But he's not as good as any of those guys, in my opinion.
He's just different
player. He's a different player. You know, Dumervil is not the guy he once was. He doesn't have the power and explosion he once did. Upshaw is starting to get more rushes outside.
But he's nothing.
He's not.
Parnell should eat him up and spit him out.
Well, he rushed. If you look at San Diego, he rushed over the left tackle more. And he gave Dunlap a lot of issues. Now, Dunlap's not a very good pass blocker.
He's so long.
Upshaw flashed a little bit in that San Diego game as a right defensive end. And they put Dumervil as the left defensive end. Now, what they do against the Jaguars, who knows? But those, Jeff's right in one sense. Parnell and Luke should win those battles. The test is going to be with Jernigan, who lines up quite a bit over the left guard. But it's an easier job than last week. Don't rush the passer very well.
You know, Zane's going into that game. We had the foot going in the last week.
Right.
Got the knee during the game. You know, that's going to be a matchup right there that we're going to keep our eyes on. Zane. You know, you got a nicked up Zane Beatles, which, you know, and their best interior pass rusher. Now, Brandon Williams, their nose tackle, is pretty good in his own right.
Big guy.
He's got the ability to rush the passer, but he doesn't have that quickness get up the field that the young player from Florida State, Timmy Jernigan, does.
It's a different front. I mean, that Jets front is the most physical front in the NFL.
Powerful.
The biggest, most powerful, strongest front in the NFL. It's why they're number one against the rush. They don't get – their sack numbers aren't huge, but they pressure – if you watch them, they pressure the quarterback at a high rate.
All right, so last week for the game, you know, doing my thing, getting, you know, soda drink, air, using the bathroom, you know, you catch some of the radio's pregame broadcast.
Yes.
And I'm going to get Tony's take on this because he watched –
Tony's take. This will be a new segment.
Tony watched a lot of film.
Westwood One.
That's right.
Tony watched a lot of film of Leonard Williams, big fan of him coming out in the draft, and you've watched a lot of tape on Leonard Williams already this year. And this analyst for the New York Jets was talking about, you know, I wonder when Leonard Williams is going to show up. You know, when is he finally going to, you know, make some plays for this football team? This is an analyst now.
Who,
okay?
Like for the network or like for who?
For whatever Jets pregame broadcast, their analyst was talking about, you know, it would be nice to have Leonard Williams show up, make a play.
Yeah, I don't know if they watched the tape, but the guy is disruptive. I mean, Leonard Williams is a really good football player. He is a big, powerful, and his hand use
great hands.
A rookie is unreal and powerful hands. I would love to see Leonard Williams lined up in a wide three technique, one gap player, and just go. He didn't. That's not the scheme they run. That's not how they play. But to say he's not that, I mean, go up and down the front and tell me one guy who's not playing well for the Jets right now.
I couldn't believe I heard that. I was like, what are you watching? I mean, what do you want? I mean,
Jeff,
Leonard,
you and I both know that the majority of guys who talk about this game on radio or TV do not watch tape.
They should.
But they don't. They get their information watching the TV or watching the game live or what they read. Or the stat
sheet. Or just reading the stat sheet.
Or the stat sheet. And if you read the stat sheet, you miss how good that Jets defensive line is.
It's like evaluating Darryl Smith. Okay, Darryl Smith used to be a guy that was kind of spread across the board on the stat sheet, but no one particular number ever wowed you.
Until you turn the tape on.
Until you watch the tape. And you watch Darryl Smith play and you go, oh, my God, this guy here, he might be the best all-around linebacker that's playing in the game right now.
You know who's like that for the Jaguars right now?
Roy Miller.
Roy Miller.
And we'll come back.
Roy Miller. And we'll, all right, we'll come back and talk about that.
We'll come back and talk Jaguars defense, a perfect segue to the Jaguars' defensive performance last week and what to expect this week. Get ready for the bold rush. Come see Thursday Night Football November 19th. That's next week. The Jags face the Titans and Marcus Mariota and Mike Mularkey. Use your game ticket to gain entry to the huge bold rush tailgate. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets. We'll call 633-2000. The uniforms for that game will be officially unveiled on Thursday Night Football tonight. Jaguars defensive talk coming up. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Join Gus Bradley at the 6th annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, plus a 1-mile fun run. On November 21st, see Jackson DeVille, The Roar, and enjoy a post-run party with live music and games. You can watch yourself cross the finish line on the world's largest video boards, and it benefits the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and their mission to help young people recognize their potential. To register, visit McKenzie'sRun.org.
I want to know, what do you win Thursday if you win the race? If I were to win the fun run, do I get a trophy or anything?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that question.
I want to know.
I bet you get like a medal or something. Don't they all get medals? That's a running thing.
I'd like a cash prize.
Cash prize for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they don't give out cash prizes for those who ride bicycles for a fun run.
I'm going to if there's money, I'll run it.
Oh, you'll run it?
Yeah, I'll win.
With two hips that you got?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're running again. You don't look like it.
I'm not running again. No one's paying me to run.
Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, that's Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman. We had the transition over to defense. You mentioned Roy Miller playing well up front, a guy that you go on the stat sheet. You don't see him much of anywhere, but that's not his role. But his role is at a high level right now, what he's doing.
Well, first and foremost, Nick Mangold, way overrated. Way overrated. You know, made a Pro Bowl a couple times. And what was it, like 3- or 4-time Pro Bowl or something like that, Tony?
Yep.
I mean, two of them were probably legitimate. But Nick Mangold's gotten overweight. He doesn't play hard anymore. I think what makes him actually look pretty decent over the last 2 years has been the play of the guards this year. I think Rob Carpenter, the guard that they got in Seattle.
James Carpenter,
big physical player. And then Willie Colon.
Pittsburgh.
Good player. I think they may actually cover up for some of his weaknesses. So I expected Roy to kind of
Roy's been doing it all year.
But he's been doing it all year.
Roy's been dominant this year.
But he made Nick Mangold look bad. Bad. But the guy that I thought had a huge step-up game was Sendarek Marks. That was his best game yet coming back from the knee. And it was very encouraging because, you know, they're pretty physical now. I mean, the Jets trying to run a football. Sendarek was a big part of that run defense. You actually finally saw him have that knee that was surgically reconstructed get out front and underneath of him. Whereas in the previous first two games back that he played, it was always staying behind. It was kind of like a little bit of a gate. And so that, to me, was probably one of the most encouraging. Now, I'm not going to say that – and I'm not saying that
well,
this
he's not
week,
back. He's not back.
He's back 100%.
He's not back rushing the passer like he did last year.
No, but it was a big step up for Sen Derks because he was getting penetration, and then you saw him finish and lean and go.
Well, so, the whole defense played great against the run. But, I mean, I don't think Roy Miller is appreciated enough for what he's done all year. If you turn the tape on week in and week out, he controls the middle of the line of scrimmage as well as any nose guard in football right now. He is playing at an extremely high level.
He's so
he's so powerful,
strong.
Yeah,
stout, but he's strong. And you know, I think it was last year when you'd watch him play at times, you could tell he wasn't quite 100%. And he would the first year he's kind of playing one armed at times, and then last year you could see that the knee wasn't quite right. You know, one of the hardest things, I think, for a nose tackle to do is to be able to play parallel with strength. And if there was anybody right now that's playing parallel with strength, first of all, Roy's playing at a high level. Now, the other guy on the other side of the field this past weekend, the Jets nose tackle, is probably another level up. But the way Roy is playing,
well, I'll say this,
really
on,
well.
On first and second down against the run, I'd put Roy up against anyone.
Yeah.
Now, with the Jets nose guard.
He can do everything.
Harrison?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was rushing the
snacks.
Passer. He rushes the passer as well, too. Now, Roy is not a pass rusher. And I mean, that's not what he does. But in first and second down against the run, Roy Miller is playing at a very high level
right
now.
That's the problem with the Jaguars' defense right now. I mean, they're playing hard, doing a great job against the run. Number one in the NFL in yards allowed per rush. Pass rush.
They don't have anyone who wins. Yeah.
And there's no help on the way.
How do you create it against Flacco this week, then?
Well, the help on the way is the healthier Sen Derek Marks gets.
Dante Fowler, next year free agency, next year's draft.
No, I'm just talking about this year. The only help coming this year is Sen getting in,
him getting healthy and
healthier.
And Bob Babich and Gus Bradley
dialing it up,
continuing
baby.
To be creative with the way they can send. Now, this week, you know, Scoot is on the injury report. Didn't finish the game. He's a guy that they like to bring when they bring some pressure. You know, so I, you know, that's not a good thing now.
No, but
because when you bring pressure, that means you're delinquent in coverage.
Well, you can go, but you're more comfortable going man this week against this receiving core. Would you not agree, Jeff?
I mean,
there's no one who really puts the fear of God in you when it comes to
no. But you know what?
The guys lining up outside.
What concerns me though, even though those guys don't put the fear in anybody, with the Ravens wide receiving core. Is that Joe Flacco?
He'll
probably
throw it up.
He throws maybe the prettiest deep ball in all
yep,
of football.
He'll throw it up. And the other guy who's a good player is Gilmore, their tight end. Who
Crockett Gilmore.
He's a good player.
It's a good name. Crockett.
He can cause problems.
And then they got their draft pick, Max Williams, who is the son of Brian Williams, who played center for the New York Giants for 11 years. He was actually a first-round pick in my draft class in 1989. Great guy.
With Dan Scoot on the report and a possibility of not going, Thurston Armbrister could be the guy at that spot. Is he
That's a concern.
That? Yeah.
That's a concern. I mean, you know, fortunately, though, when he's on the field, you're not going to say, okay, hey, Thurston, we want you to cover, you know, a great Pro Bowl tight end. You know, so.
And the reality is that Otto is playing less and less in today's football because most of the time teams are
playing
subs.
So much nickel.
Yeah, sub package.
But now next week against Tennessee, I would be surprised if Scooter is ailing. You're not going to want to have him play this week because next week you're going to be facing the Tennessee Titans who love throwing the ball to the tight end.
And they have a good
tight end.
Football.
And it's Thursday
short week.
So that might be iffy.
Jonathan Cyprien probably had his best game of the year last week, right?
No doubt. No doubt. He did not – what did he have, 12 tackles?
13.
13 yeah. tackles. Didn't miss one tackle. And most of it was accomplished when he was around the line of scrimmage. You know, Sip gets in trouble when he's in space. And now he had one play he didn't make that he should have.
Oh, it was a pick.
And it was an interception opportunity all day long. All he had to do was to come back and attack, trust where he was at, trust what he was believing in, and to come back and attack the ball, and it was an easy interception.
Maybe six.
Might have been.
Jeff, are we to the point where what we've seen out of Jonathan Cyprien, is he just a box safety?
That's where he's at his best.
I mean, that's where he's at his best.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's not – I mean, in today's NFL, you want safeties who can rotate, can play one – you can rotate each side, and each guy can play in the box.
Yeah, but you know what? If you can't do that, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it's not like, you know, coaches love to have safeties that can rotate in and out. And in a perfect world, you like to have it be 50-50 because you can disguise certain things. But if you can't do that, that's okay.
Yeah, how many teams have that?
I can't think of one.
Right.
Can't think of one. You know, so it would be nice to be able to get somebody that could be free and just play that true free safety. But
Sip is really good in the box.
He's very good in the box. Very, very good in the box. And, you know, the other guy that you got is better than Cyprian in space, which is James Sample, which, you know, I don't know if he's going to play this week or not. He's on the injury report once again. Yeah. Shoulder, right?
Right.
Shoulder with the injury report.
Rookie with a shoulder.
He's better in space than Cyprian, you know. And is he a true free safety? No. But here's the best part going forward. You know, not talking about this year specifically, but maybe this year if James Sample gets back this week or next week, whenever it happens. It gives you another special teams player, you know, a defensive player. Look at the Jaguars special teams players. I mean, think about it. Who's been on the field? Toby Gerhart, Bernard Pierce, Denard Robinson.
Too many offensive
Clay
guys.
Harbor.
Too many offensive guys.
Right?
Right.
And then defensive guys, Thurston Armbrister, the newly signed linebacker, Hayes Pullard, who was inactive last week, has a chance. Jordan Tripp is a guy that's been playing. You know, so right now you need to find more defensive-minded guys to play on special teams. But right now you just don't have them.
Well, we got a special delivery from the head coach, Gus
Bradley.
You know,
the timing couldn't have been better.
With a
pizza.
Nice, fresh pizza for us.
Thanks,
I don't
know if it's – is it fresh?
Fresh enough.
It's still warm.
We appreciate that. Gus Bradley.
Can we take a break now?
We can take a break and eat some pizza. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Download the official Jags app and get once-in-a-lifetime game experiences or seat upgrades at every game at Everbank Field. Scroll down to the More Experiences tab. The Jaguars app is available in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store right now. A look around the injury report. A lot of guys dinged up for the Baltimore Ravens. A few on the report for the Jags. We'll get to that a little later. We'll pick some games in Week 10 in the NFL. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. For Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli. Glad you're along with us tonight. The Jags and the Baltimore Ravens coming up in Week 10. And then the Jags will have four of the next five games here at Everbank Field. It's been a while for the Jags in this stadium. They've had one game in this stadium the last 2 months. So that's a long time away from Everbank Field. The last of that stretch coming up Sunday. A pair of 2-6 teams. The Jags, Logman doesn't want to go there. The Jags have some hope in the division. The Ravens are fighting for a wild card. I'm just previewing the game. What do you want me to do?
First of all, the Ravens aren't fighting for a wild card.
That's all they have left to fight for. That's all I'm saying, Tony. They're out of the division, obviously. Cincinnati's undefeated.
What both teams are fighting for right now is to get 3 wins.
Yeah.
There you go.
When you're 2-6, you're fighting to get to 3. That's all you're doing.
Okay, this is
nothing
a game of teams
else.
Looking for their third win on
Thank
Sunday.
You. Nothing
Tune
else
in,
matters.
Right here.
Well, what are you going to sell? What are you selling, a playoff
yeah,
matchup? I mean, come
not?
On.
Come on.
You're better than that, JP.
Yeah, this is not a playoff matchup, but this is a good matchup.
There you go.
Well, it's going to be a great football game.
Yeah.
A great football game. Also, I mean, I've had several, you know, people, and this is not why any of us are doing what we do, and especially not Gus and the guys over there working long hours. But I've had several people tell me, it's like, listen, the Jags aren't where they need to be and not where I want them as a fan, but at least for the first time in a long time, they're fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're exciting games. I mean, they're in it. It's fourth quarter. It's coming down to the end, and we have an offense that, you know, I think one caller called in on the Gus Bradley show about pushing the ball down the field. It's a vertical offense. It's, you know, there's young players making plays. So
he was kind of taking a shot at the old OC, too. Jet fish.
You like to do
They'll
that.
They'll bubble screen.
You like doing that.
I thought that was great.
We'd bubble screen you to death, wouldn't we?
That was my favorite play, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh. Jeff would just look over at
Every
me
time
in the booth. He'd just
go,
look at me.
You got to be kidding me.
Like, what are we doing? I don't know. But that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get three wins. Trying to get to three right now. And it's a great opportunity. And we're all sitting here in Jacksonville saying we're playing a 2-6 Baltimore team, and it's a great opportunity. And right now in Baltimore, they're sitting there saying we're playing a 2-6 Jaguar team. It's a great opportunity.
You know, here's the best part. You know, it seems like every week, you know, you start, you know, I put up the game board, you know, you start making all the little notes and everything.
Yes. We've heard about your game boards.
And making the notes on the Ravens defense, which is not like a Ravens defense we all used to watch.
Correct.
They have four takeaways on defense.
Four.
Dead last in the league.
Wow.
So for a team, yeah, Jags have seven.
Yeah. Which is not very many.
That's not
many
either.
No. Seven's like bad.
I'll just say this.
So for a team that's been losing the turnover battle week in and week out, there's hope this week.
2 weeks ago, I was doing the Cardinals game when they played the Browns, so not past Sunday before.
Weeks, yeah.
The Cardinals at that point, interceptions alone, forget turnovers, had 13.
Wow.
12 by the secondary.
Wow. How many of the Jaguars have in the secondary?
Zero.
Oh.
13.
Ouch. Now, they did win the turnover battle against Buffalo.
They did.
You know, and did a great job with that.
And listen, if they lost the turnover battle 4-0 against the Jets and lost by 5 points.
And had a chance to win it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's right. If they don't
which
have
tells
the fourth,
you just yeah. The great news about this, the Jaguars are getting to the point if you will start taking care of things that you can control, like protecting the ball. You're going to be winning football games. We haven't been able to say that in the last 2.5 years.
Let's look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. We start with the Jags left guard Zane Beatles is practiced full this week, coming off the knee situation that he had in the game last week. Played through the game, but looks like he's going to go this week. Chris Clemens back at practice today, just a Veterans Day on Wednesday. Toby Gerhardt. Groin injury has been full this week, was inactive, a healthy scratch.
I think he'll be Sunday. Inactive again this week.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, he's a role player.
Yeah.
Okay. It's very clear that, okay, he's got a groin and he's practicing and all that. Yeah. And they can say that he's full, but he's still on there, which means that it's still bothering him. And it's very clear from watching him this year, he's not healthy.
Yeah.
He can't run. Full speed. You watch him on punt coverage, and either he can't run full speed or he won't run full speed. Whatever it is, he's
either
not,
way, it's a problem.
Yeah, it's either way.
Either way, he's not running full speed.
Right. If that's the case, then you can't bring him up on game day.
Greg Olsen said this week he didn't have that thump that he had earlier, and that's pretty obvious in that game in London. Julius Thomas, full with the abdomen. He's good to go. Marquise Lee, limited both days this week. The most practice he's had in a long time and a chance. For the albino tiger, at least.
Well, John Harbaugh thinks he's going to play.
Yeah, that's what he said this
week. Gus Bradley said, you know, we'll see. You know, what's gamesmanship and what's the truth? You know, we don't know.
But let's say he plays.
Okay.
What are we expecting out of Marquise Lee if he plays?
Three touchdowns. No,
I'm not asking you.
175 yards.
You're talking about winning the division right now at 2-6.
I think.
And you call me the sunshine pump.
That's right. Yeah,
my
Captain
goodness.
Sunshine over here.
Most guys, when they come back from an injury, you don't have very high expectations. But when we've seen Marquise come back, he's had an impact, you know, right?
Yeah,
And I think Blake described it perfectly this week in his press conference when he was talking about chemistry with Marquise, and he said that, look, Marquise just gets great separation. It's easy to find chemistry with a guy that gets great separation. Now, will he be 100% and get great separation?
You still haven't answered my question. What do you expect?
If he plays. You know, here's the interesting thing that, you know.
Okay, since you're not going to answer, I'll answer.
No.
What I expect is probably 10 to 15 snaps, a couple catches, and running people off the rest of the time. That's what I expect.
But here's my concern. Okay, how do you get him on the field?
Do you take off the field?
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Or you take Brian Walters off the field. But
is Brian Walters not a trusted target of your young quarterback.
I'll just say
right
this
now.
On third down, I'm having Brian Walters out there. So I would put.
You're going four wides.
No, if I want to go three wides, which the Jags do and Greg Olsen does, and first and second down is when I'd have Marquise Lee out there. On third down, I'm putting Brian Walters in the game.
Okay.
Because I trust him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's one of the most trustworthy, according to the stats of targets to catches in the league.
He's one of the highest in the league.
Yeah, like second in the league. James Sample, rookie safety, shoulder, limited both days this week. Michael Bennett has not practiced with a hamstring strain, the defensive tackle, the rookie.
That hurts a little bit, too, the rotation. He's been playing better. He's been playing.
Yeah, he had a couple nice plays last week. You know,
just for depth reason. It's not the end of the world, but I'm just saying from the rotation depth, it does hurt a little bit.
I think he's developing nicely, and I think in the future it'll be, you know, continue to be what we've been seeing out of him this year, and hopefully he continues to get better.
I think we argued about this, argued in air quotes. You said Josh Evans was the toughest guy on the team.
One of the toughest.
I say Allen Hurns because he hasn't practiced, chance to play this week.
What was his status today?
Did not practice today.
That's a concern.
But was off to the side with a helmet and the jugs machine.
Yeah, but that's a concern now, okay, because Allen in the last couple weeks – has been not practicing, I think, on Wednesdays and then limited on Thursdays. I mean, that's a change,
that's true.
Right?
No, that's a change. True. That's definitely a change.
And you got a short week coming up next week.
And what's the injury?
Foot injury. Last play of the game.
So here's the
thing. My money's on that he plays.
Here's the thing. Okay, if he can't play, there's your snaps for Marquise Lee if he plays. Okay, and without taking Brian Walters off the field. You know, so that will be interesting to watch the two of them.
Six-game touchdown streak for Allen Hurns. Dan Scuda with the groin has not practiced this week. Not looking good for him. Could be Thurston Armbrister at the auto. The Ravens, Crockett Gilmore, full today, the tight end. Eugene Monroe has been full this week, coming off a shoulder injury. Hasn't played
four and a half games missed. The shoulder was the issue. He was inactive last game 2 weeks ago against San Diego. They had a bye last week and was hurt the game before San Diego. And
missed
then
a couple games with concussions.
Three
too.
Games with a concussion. He's missed seven games, I think, in the last 2 years. So not good. Not good.
Production up there has not been great for him. They've just that hadn't been on the field a lot. Well, I know he's on the field. Even,
you talked to the
Jerry
Baltimore
Sandusky,
guy,
yeah,
Jerry
the
Sandusky,
voice of the Ravens
and,
today for the pregame show.
He said that's a very big question mark what the Ravens are going for because they paid him. I mean, they paid him,
they did,
you know,
yeah.
Starting left tackle money. And it's kind of what we saw here is what's happening up there in Baltimore with Eugene.
Rashad Perriman, the wide receiver, has not practiced with a knee injury. Darryl Smith, not injury-related, did not practice today.
That's an old man's day off.
No doubt. And the center has not practiced. Suda with the shoulder injury. And I think you guys were talking about it earlier. That could be an issue, right?
I'm going to be curious to see what they do if Suda can't play because Suda – during a game last week or 2 weeks ago against San Diego, he's hurt. And then John Urschel, who is has a master's in math, an interesting story, Penn State graduate, he was active, so he slides in to the center position. Now, on their depth chart, they have a second-year guy by the name of Ryan Jensen at center. And so knowing going into a game, because John Urschel against the Chargers had some problems with the snap, and I'm talking under center, shotgun were scary.
There was issues.
Scary. And there's like four or five of them now. It wasn't like one. There was like four or five of them. And John Urschel, this is interesting, by the way.
Oh, boy.
He's published.
I can't wait.
He had a paper.
That's exciting.
That was published in the Journal of Computational Mathematics.
I subscribe to that, actually.
Do you read that?
Occasionally.
Occasionally.
Bathroom material.
Yeah.
But I've got to read this article that he wrote, or this paper that he wrote. It's called A Cascadic Multigrid Algorithm for Computing the Fiedler Vector of Graphic Laplacians.
I have no
that's
idea.
A must,
what does
that's
that mean?
A must read.
I don't even know what that means.
I have
no
idea.
You read it, you have no idea what it means. Look it up.
Do you have, what is that even? Right, what is it referring to?
I don't know.
You have any idea what, like,
math?
Area?
Math.
I know, but, like, towards
math.
What? Like, what are they? I mean,
Laplacian, was that the last?
Laplacian.
I don't even know what that means. What's Laplacian?
And I'm assuming that I pronounced that properly, and I've
probably
been on
not.
A very bad roll today.
Probably
so
not.
Maybe
today.
Not.
Let's Google that. We'll get the definition when we come back.
We'll do that.
on Jaguars Thursday.
Let's not.
Game day parking hassles goodbye with a JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. The tickets starting at $7. For more information, visit JTAFLA.com. We'll look around the National Football League when we come back. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out Audi Jacksonville. They go out of their way to provide total customer satisfaction, including their service concierge, so you'll never have to leave home for service. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars, and the Ravens, each team looking for win number 3 Sunday.
There you go, JP. You're coachable.
Let's look around the National Football League and pick some games in Week 10. We'll get to the Thursday night game coming up in just a moment. We start off with the Dolphins at the Eagles, a 1 o'clock kick.
How about that, Dan Campbell?
How about it?
Kind of.
Oh, you're going to pick the Dolphins?
No. Heck no.
You said how about it?
I'm taking the Eagles.
Okay.
I was making light of how everybody was saying, damn, Campbell solved everything for the Dolphins. Look at him now.
Not so much.
They're not doing enough Oklahoma drills in Miami right now. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
The Saints are on the road against the Redskins.
Redskins.
Yeah, I'm going with Tony on that one.
Redskins defense is better than, I mean.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not bad. I mean, they held the Patriots 27 somehow.
The Redskins might score 40.
Oh, worst defense in the history of the world.
Yeah. Is Rex Ryan – or Rex.
That'd be Rob.
Rob going to survive this year?
No. I don't think Sean Payton might not survive it.
That's true. He would be scooped up pretty quick, though, Payton.
He'd have a job.
In a minute.
In a heartbeat. The Lions trying to get something going. They won't do it this week at Lambeau.
That organization –
they haven't won in 24 years in Lambeau.
They're a mess. 24 years. That's it. Tony's dead on the money.
How old was I 24 years ago?
You were 7.
Nine?
The last time they won was the year before Brett Favre became a Green Bay Packer.
How about that? Favre was with the Falcons the last time they won.
Joe just brought up a great point.
Okay, great.
I mean, you're talking about 24 years. It's not like they're out of division.
Play every year.
They're in the same division now. They're playing every year.
They
always play
once a year
at Lambeau. At Lambeau.
That's 24 losses.
That's bad.
That's not good. Browns-Steelers, great old rivalry.
You know, actually, Ben was going to be out, but he actually practiced today limited with that midfoot sprain. I doubt he plays still. But the Browns are 32nd in the league in stopping the run. D'Angelo Williams is pretty good.
Is he nicked up, though?
I'm not sure. That's
thought he
question.
Was a little nicked up, maybe.
But I don't care if he is. Antonio Brown, they got enough. Yeah. That Steelers defense is playing pretty well, too.
Antonio Brown.
Throw the ball, man.
Yep, I'm going to go
like
with
my fantasy guy.
I'm going to go Steelers. He had no touchdowns, though.
That's all right. He only had like 300 yards receiving.
284 right. And 20 yards rushing.
That's pretty good.
He didn't score with 284?
No. 17 catches.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's unbelievable. I didn't even know that.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah. That was a good pick.
The Panthers. Wow, they're playing the Titans this week.
Panthers.
In Nashville.
Nashville?
Not that it matters.
I'm going to pick an upset here.
Yeah, you're wrong. They got a lot of juice after, you know, first coach, and they won that game. But if you go back and win that game, Mariota got lucky. A bunch of tip balls that very well could have been interceptions. One, that Lenny Walker, like, tipped up to himself and caught and ran for a touchdown. And the Carolina Panthers are big, they're physical, and they're good.
I'm going to pick an upset. That's going to be my upset of the week. I'm gonna go with it.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Oh, well, yeah. You
Mariota,
go on your own.
Mariota,
yeah.
I might even take him in fantasy. How about
you
that?
You think so?
You should do that.
Please do.
Yeah, because –
for everybody's sake, please
yeah,
do that on Sunday. The Cowboys and the Buccaneers in Tampa.
Did you read Jeremy Mincy's quote?
No.
Oh, gosh.
Which is,
here we
know,
go.
When Jeremy talks, it's just like, you know, you just got to
nobody listens.
Sit back. Yeah, but you got to sit back and you got to kind of chuckle. And he says, you know, he says, we got to stop waiting on Romo. You know, it's not like he's Jesus. I mean, we just have to just go ahead and play. I mean, we don't need Tony Romo to win. It's hilarious.
Yeah, you do. You haven't won a game since you left. But you know what? Just the law of averages. The Dallas Cowboys have lost six in a row. They were 2-0. Now they're 2-6. Ever since Romo got hurt, they're going to win one without Romo. They have to, don't they?
And who are they playing again?
Tampa Bay. I'm going Tampa Dallas. Bay? I'm just going Dallas just because they got to.
Des Bryant like blew up on a reporter.
Yeah,
today,
but, yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Bucks.
Bucks at home.
Yeah, because I'm a big Dirk Cutter fan.
You guys are tight. You see his comments this week.
He's never gonna get a job with an organization that believes in analytics ever again.
Did you see the
comments? Yes.
He basically said analytics are stupid. He doesn't need analytics. He does not need numbers on a piece of paper to tell him how to call a game.
Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
He trusts his eyes. Listen. I don't.
It's unbelievable.
Even if you believe that,
he looked like a complete.
Don't say it because donkey. The whole league is going right. to analytics.
I'm sure there's some colleges somewhere that aren't.
So when he gets fired, because offensive coordinators have a tendency to have that happen
to
him, right? And he's looking for a job, and he's going to come in on the interview, and they're going to say, "What do you think about analytics? You know, we've got an analytics department that's top notch." He's going to say, I don't believe in that. Yeah. I trust my eyes. Let's go interview the next one.
The Bears and the Rams. Gurley, watch.
The Bears got a big win. Did you see Zach Miller's touchdown? Remember the Zach Miller from
here?
The
one that was
here. Yeah. You see the one-handed catch he had the other night?
Great catch. To win it?
I did not.
It was awesome.
Game winner.
Fourth quarter. It was a skinny post. He beats the linebacker, but the ball was thrown way out in front of him.
And it was hot, too.
Hot. I mean, and he reached out his right hand. It catches it for a touchdown, game winner. I'm like
tipped it and then caught it and fell in
the
end.
He played at small school in Nebraska. What was it?
Nebraska-Omaha or something.
Yeah, Nebraska-Omaha.
That's what it was, I think. Yeah.
And he was a quarterback, right?
Yeah, he was a quarterback at college. Yeah. You know, Gene Smith brings him in, late round draft pick, something like that.
And never could be healthy.
Very clear that he had talent.
Just not couldn't say healthy.
No, every year he could.
But I'm gonna who are they playing again?
They're playing the Rams.
I'm going Rams.
In St. Louis.
Yeah, Rams.
Vikings-Raiders. At the Coliseum.
The bad thing about the Rams thing is when a tree falls in the forest, does it make a noise?
That's a good point.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. Now, Teddy Bridgewater, he passed the early concussion stuff.
Because he was knocked out on the field.
Yeah, but the next day he cleared the concussion protocol, at least the first steps. I don't know if he's playing
or not.
More
steps to take.
My guess is he'll play, and even if he doesn't, that Vikings team's a good football team.
Vikings and who?
Raiders.
Raiders are pretty good.
I'm not picking Del Rio. Vikings.
The Patriots are in the Big Apple against the Giants.
Patriots.
Yeah,
that's okay. Patriots.
The Giants defense is terrible.
I mean, I know historically the Giants have always done well against the Patriots.
That's when they used to be able to rush the passer.
Yeah.
AFC West, the Chiefs and the Broncos. Mile high.
Broncos are going to come back after that disappointing loss. Peyton will break the record. He only needs three yards.
Yep.
It's Broncos. They're going to win that game.
I can't believe that Broncos team that showed up against the Colts. What in the world?
Yeah.
Akeem Tlaib, though.
Akeem Tlaib should have been suspended for three games.
No doubt. Eye gouging.
Three?
What do you think? Yeah.
He got one, right? It's a $300,000 fine.
Yeah.
That's okay, though.
Pretty good fine.
I understand that, but I think that's enough.
But, I mean, to intentionally try to poke a guy in the eye.
It's like old school.
And to think he's going to get away with it.
That was three Stooges.
He should have gotten suspended for the act for one game, and then he should have gotten suspended another game for the stupid statement that he said that it wasn't intentional. Yeah,
right. No, one game, and then everyone should have beat the you-know-what out of him in the locker room because it cost him the game.
Yeah, cost him an opportunity.
Certainly did. The Cardinals and the Seahawks in Seattle.
Cards.
I like the Cards, too.
Monday night, Houston-Cincinnati.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It's going to be a blowout.
How about tonight's game?
Cincinnati.
The new.
Or are you going to let us, Jeff, say anything about
Cincinnati.
It?
They're undefeated.
Yeah, Cincinnati. They got so many weapons on offense.
Buffalo and the Jets tonight. The new jerseys debut tonight.
Yeah, all red for Buffalo, all green for New York.
I hope
Buffalo,
Jets pound them.
Buffalo wants to come in and run the ball. That's what they do with Tyrod Taylor. The problem is the Jets are the best run defense in football. And I think Chris Ivory might have a little something to prove with that offensive line after they got demolished up front against the Jaguars. I like the Jets.
I'm picking the Jets, and I hope it's big.
The Jaguars jerseys for next week officially will be unveiled tonight. Keep an eye out for that.
Where?
On the game tonight.
During the game.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Have you seen them yet, Jeff?
No, I have not.
Oh, they're good looking.
There you go. Here we go. Jaguars Thursday. The Jags are headed to Baltimore this week. That'll do it. We'll see you next week. Couple weeks. 3 weeks.
3 weeks,
Jaguars
JP.
Thursday.
You got to do better, man. You got to do better.
Jaguars Radio.